Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, this is one of the most decorated agents in CIA history.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have seen the movie Syriana, it's based on Bob Baer's book. George Clooney played this guy. I've always wanted to say that about myself.
Right.
It's never going to happen.
In the movie, George Clooney would play me. Wouldn't that be nice?
But that's what Bob can actually say that.
I know.
You know, and it, when he's having an après ski in the upcoming weeks, he can step into the bar. Yeah, George Clooney played me. All right.
Well, you know, the point is too late to, you know, sort of, you know, in a narcissistic way to even think about it. I'm too old for it. Like, oh, I go, so well, so what?
Yeah. You know? I'll tell you something. I'll tell you,
it
though.
It always comes too late.
Yeah. But, Bob, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd still be saying it. I would be in a wheelchair drooling, and I'd be saying it. All right. let's talk about, but Syriana, I mean, if you go back and, you know, for those who read the book, people saw the movie. I mean, this is the region we are talking about here, that where all the trouble in the world is now emanating. You've got the Turkish border with Syria. You've got Iraq on the east. You've got what the Kurds consider to be their homeland. And I want no better person in America to explain exactly what's going on here and why this turnaround on the Kurds, it could be potentially devastating for the U.S. in U.S. interests, let's say, in the region, not to the U.S. necessarily, but you never know, because the president today, earlier today, he was talking about the Kurds, and he's been saying some stuff that's kind of sideways about the Kurds, like, hey, they weren't always angels. Last week he said they didn't fight with us in World War II. They're just fighting for their own land. They wanted to go into Europe. Who explain to us exactly who the Kurds are and why they're important at this moment?
Well, I mean, really, you know, they did the fighting against the Islamic State. They overran it. They destroyed it. We armed them. We paid them. But they did the fighting. They backed up our special forces. They backed up the SEALs and so forth. They were fully on. In fact, they are our only proxies in the Middle East you can depend on. Nobody else.
And they were fighting with us in Iraq as well, right? I mean, they held the northern provinces.
They fought with me. I mean, it was one night, you know, they said, hey, we're going to attack 5 Corps, which is outside Erbil. And I stood there and said, let's do it. And over the course of 3 nights, we wiped out 3 Iraqi divisions. They did it all on their own. I just sort of stood there and watched. They're amazing fighters. They totally believe in us. And they've been totally loyal. And unlike the president said, they do not have a bad record with the United States ever. They're about as loyal as you can get.
So the PKK, which is was the Workers' Party or whatever from the Kurdish movement, because these are people who are without a state, right? It's a nation without a state, essentially, is what it is.
They are Kurds who live in Turkey. And they have been conducting a resistance against the Turks forever, basically. They're ethnically a different people. The Kurds are Indo-Europeans, and the Turks are something else of Turkish origin. So they hate each other. The problem is there's no evidence that the Syrian Kurds, it's a different political group, are attacking Turkey. If that's happening, the Turks have made an awful case of it. So when Erdogan, the head of Turkey, calls our Kurds in Syria terrorists, he hasn't backed that up with any facts. He's just sort of making that up. So, you know, this is very complicated, but you have to look at it. Is we have so few allies in the Middle East, to just take one of these, the one group that's fighting with us and keeping us alive and wiping out the Islamic State, we betrayed them, which in credibility terms, who at this point is going to trust the United States? And that's the real problem. And I can tell you right now, the Arab capitals from Riyadh and so forth, the Saudis, are cutting new deals. It doesn't matter with Russia or Iran, simply because our credibility is shot.
Okay, let's talk.
This president makes no bones about it. We're leaving. You know, we're done.
Well, let's talk
about
it.
We're leaving.
Let's talk about Iran for a moment, because this is important. The people who benefit from this, if you just look at if Turkey's allowed to go in and take out the Kurds, take out the resistance, essentially, that may exist, who gets benefited here? The Russians are one of the groups that gets benefited.
The, And the Iranians, because in fact Syria has no real army. It was defeated during the civil war. It was run into the ground. So what you have is, you have Iran is stepping into the vacuum. So you have Russia and Iran. Now, people are going to say, they're going to listen to this conversation and say, my God, Trump is right. Let's get out of that place. But let's not forget the attack on the Saudi oil facility. The good money says, safe money said, it was probably Russian technology that was used to attack that. So if Russia takes out Saudi Arabia's oil, forces Saudi Arabia to the negotiating table, that basically gives Russia, along with Iran, their control of the world's oil supply. And you're going to say, well, come on, we can, you know, we can produce our, we can frack, we do things like that. But still, that sort of control over the world's oil reserves, and we're moving there, we're not there yet, could be an utter catastrophe, could make a superpower out of Iran, and Russia is already coming back. So this is, these are the stakes we're talking about. And if one day they wanted to turn off the spigot, we could be paying, you know, $10 for a gallon of gasoline.
Right.
And that puts a lot of people out of business.
Because the global market is a global market, regardless of where it's being
global
produced.
Market.
Right. So Russia, and let's go back to this, because Russia really has, it's a one-horse town as an economy. It's about energy production. And they, the, their oil production is really it. And they've been trying to find a way to get an easier access to the Mediterranean so that they can supply points
pipelines.
West. The points west for them. That's what their play has been this whole time. And they would like Saudi out of that because Saudi does have easy access, right, to get their stuff out. And that is...
Well, they do. They keep the price of oil fairly low, the Saudis do, because they pump oil when it's too high. So all the Russians have to do at this point is say, look, you can't trust the United States. You know, it's not just Trump. It's, you know, we're with retreating sort of like we did after World War One with neutrality and then everything. So don't trust them, but trust us. But by the way, we'll protect you. This is what the Russians say to the Saudis. We'll protect you, but you got to cut back on your oil production. That makes the price of oil around the world go up. Helps Russia out of its economics problems, and it's in problems right now. So this is the big game, and we have to decide how to play it. And if we decide, you know, to say, hey, we're out of here, we could pay a price, an economic price down the line.
I found it interesting pulling U.S. troops and abandoning our allies, the Kurds, has drawn criticism, and this is one of the few issues right now in this time that's done this, drawn criticism from both Republicans and Democrats. In fact, the president made a special point to lash out at Lindsey Graham today. You know, he wants to stay there for 1,000 years in the Mideast, and what's going on with these people? This is the right decision. And I guess my question to you, Bob, is where do you think this advice is coming from? Is the president on an island on this, or are there... members of the administration who are supporting and pushing this kind of policy?
Well, look, whatever personal interests the president has in the Middle East, he's also got some logic on his side, because we have been there forever. And the deeper we get into the Middle East, the worse we make it, the more we unbalance things. And it's a very difficult place to understand. When I was working with the Kurds, one of them got mad at me and fired a couple rockets over my convoy, just to let me know. So these people are a headache, and they have their own interests, and they keep their own counsel. And he keeps on, the president, reverting this, let's get out of the Middle East, let's not protect the world's oil supplies. So for a lot of people, that makes a lot of sense, but it's always in the detail is how you pull out. And you have to come, before you do pull out, you have to come to some sort of political solution before you do. Otherwise, you get chaos, which we're getting in Syria, where Russian military are occupying our bases. It's the first time ever.
Right. As of today,
there's
a video.
And they're having a field day in Moscow, showing the films of this, people abandoning their stuff, our soldiers.
Yeah.
And it completely demoralized the army, because we were so used to fighting with the Kurds. The special forces, Delta and everybody else, just love the Kurds because they're good fighters. And
yeah.
To walk away and let them be slaughtered is very demoralizing for the military.
Yeah, and there have been some people speaking on background from Special Forces, from that command in Tampa, that are saying, hey, this was a mistake. And, you know, very rarely do those operators, as you know, I mean, you work with them when you were in the CIA.
They never do.
They don't
really upset.
Yeah, and this is, you know, to break rank here, because, you know, generally things happen within a spectrum that's reasonable for them. This seems outside the spectrum that's reasonable for them. This is something that is counterintuitive to what American warfighting has been like for the, you know, in the post-Vietnam era, right, in the post-terrorism era. And so this is a very, very, this is a significant moment, and I don't think, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it today, Bob, because this isn't just politics as usual. This isn't about impeachment. This isn't about any of those other things. This isn't even about Ukraine, although that kind of plays into this in some other way, because everything that happens here always tilts to help Moscow, and I can't figure that out. I have trouble believing that's an accident.
It's the Ukraine, Syria. It all goes back to Moscow.
Yeah.
They keep on, you know, poking the hornet's nest on this, on the Ukraine, on everything. And they're very patient. And Putin is an ex-KGB officer who ran covert operations and despises us and is going to pick away at our credibility and authority forever. I mean, until he's finished. Yeah. And he's doing a good job at it because we don't play that game. We decided to give it up.
Right, we're walking away from a lot of these fights. So we will, and we'll just see what happens. Very quickly, before I let you go, do you think that there's talk today, the story that Rudy Giuliani may have been under investigation for over a year as part of a counterintelligence investigation by the CIA. Do you have a sense that there's real peril for Rudy Giuliani here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was in business with the son-in-law of Erdogan, the Turkish leader. This is about the son-in-law who actually runs day-to-day Turkey. And he's under FBI investigation. I don't know where the FBI got its evidence, but it's the FBI, the Southern District of New York, that's looking into him. And that's a mess. It involves kidnapping of this cleric and the rest of it, and secrets and the rest of it. So when you have the president's lawyer under FBI investigation for giving up secrets, it's time to get a new lawyer.
Well, we know a few around here. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Talk to you later. Bear. Very, 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 very. Now he's a famous. Most of those guys who were in the clandestine services didn't really show their face.
That's right.
And Bob eventually did. All right. And we thank him for that. Let's check in now with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadway?